compromise agreements and gagging orders. The humble compromise agreement rarely makes the headlines, but on Saturday it was the number one piece on Radio 4's Today programme. The Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, has written to all hospital trusts to urge them not to use gagging clauses to stop staff from raising concerns over care issues. These clauses stop disgruntled staff from whistleblowing and hide the real issues and problems going on in our hospitals. Jeremy Hunt stated that hospitals need a culture of openness if the mistakes seen at Stafford Hospital were to be avoided in the future. The statement was prompted by the former NHS chief executive in Lincolnshire, Gary Walker, talking to the BBC. In 2010, Walker was sacked for gross misconduct for allegedly swearing in meetings, and in 2011, he was all set to go to an employment tribunal. However, before the hearing, he said he had no choice but to sign a compromise agreement, which included a provision that he would not comment on the quality of care at the trust. Supporters say that he had little choice but to sign or lose his house, although the £320,000 settlement payment may well have helped him make his decision. Of course, now that Walker has broken the terms of his agreement, he is due to repay the money he received, and lawyers for the trust have asked for about £500,000. So how do these gagging clauses work? When someone is dismissed or otherwise terminates the employment relationship, there is always the possibility that the employee will bring an employment tribunal claim. In order to circumvent this problem, employees are often provided with a compromise agreement, which is a legally binding contract saying they will take no further action. For the agreement to be legally binding, the employee has to take independent legal advice from a solicitor or trade union official for which the employer usually pays. Over the years, these agreements have become more complicated and far-reaching, and on the basis that the employer is paying for the employee to either drop a claim or not to take one out in the first place, employers use this payment to buy or reinforce other restrictions at the same time. The agreements tend to remind employees of their duties to return property and their obligations under post-termination covenants. The agreements may also buy additional protections and covenants, especially where the original restrictions were insufficient or there has been a breach of contract by the employer, rendering covenants useless. There is almost always a confidentiality clause, making the terms of the agreement confidential. The employer doesn't want the employee bragging about how much he or she was paid. Provision is also made to keep the circumstances of the termination or dismissal secret. In addition, there is often a bad mouthing clause to stop ex-staff slagging off the employer. These agreements can be complicated, and although some solicitors seem to think that the giving of advice to employees on such documents is money for old rope, the truth is, employees will require detailed advice on all aspects of the agreement, from tax liabilities to whether the termination payment is sufficient to compromise any potential claim. Compromise agreements may not, however, be the panacea to all potential employment disputes. Some employees will be very principled and would prefer to blow the whistle rather than take the money and run. Other employees will take their agreements to solicitors who will spot any number of potential claims and thus start a legal roller coaster of additional actions. All in all, it is better to get disciplinary and dismissal procedures right in the first place rather than have to rely on a further contract to get the employer out of trouble. For more information on whistleblowing, compromise agreements and gagging clauses, contact Ian Pearson on the usual number or email address. Goodbye.